Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and guests that don't turn up, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. We're supposed to have Alex Ansari on today, but of course, Ansari is not answering because his computer blew up. He sent me a Facebook message, which means also for those of you who enjoy Outside the Box with Alex Ansari, I'm sorry, he will not be able to do his broadcast unless he has access to a phone of some kind. And I don't know whether or not we'll be able to get that sorted for you. So apologies to the Outside the Box listeners as well, if any of them ever listen to this show. Now, our replacement guest, who's, you know what? She's actually really quite so fabulous, and she always comes on at the last minute whenever I'm like in deep shtuck, and she's just so fabulous and has amazing research articles, happens to be one of the most credible people, as well as being the most incredible person. It's Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Welcome to the program.
Wow, thank you. Yes, I'm always around, whether you want me to be or not.
Yeah. I'm like those certain people who are telling you lies, whether you like it or not. And it's kind of like the US government, isn't it? So what's on the board, Miss Ford? What are the articles coming out of Occupy Corporatism today?
Oh, gee, where should I start? Well, teachers are going to be armed for class this September in Arkansas. In Clarksville High School in Arkansas, it will be the first high school that utilizes state laws to allow teachers to become security guards, and they are in training, 53 hours of training, which is 5 times the normal amount that a security guard has to go through, which is actually kind of scary when you think about that. They will be equipped with 9mm guns, and the best part about it is nobody's going to know which teacher is armed and which one isn't.
You know, I hate to be the bearer of contrary news, but this actually sounds like a good idea to me. You know, all those mass shootings and things like that where here's the thing. What would you rather do in a mass shooting? Do what they currently do, which is cluster all the children together in small groups so that they can be more easily shot, or B, have armed teachers who can take out any alleged gunman?
If a gunman busts into a room full of children and throws up a handgun, I would like the teacher to come up behind him and put her gun in the back of his head and say, try it. Absolutely.
But something tells me that's not what this is for. I think this is probably for just to intimidate the kids and keep them to following really stupid school rules. You know, I don't know. I could be wrong. Is there more information on this?
There are teachers that shouldn't be there, and because of tenure and because of Common Core and all the good stuff, they get to stay there. And like in, I think it's New York, they get sent to like time out for teachers for 3 years on pay. You know, the taxpayers still pay their salary, and they get to sit in a room for 8 hours up until, you know, for 3 years total, serving, I guess, time out for teachers because they were bad, because they were sexually active with their students, or they were abusive or emotionally or physically abusive. When I was in school, nobody actually got hurt by a teacher, but apparently this is like commonplace now that teachers will just like grab you out of your seat and throw you out a window or worse.
Well, that's nice, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I just hate school in general, and forced public education, I think, is one of the main reasons why there's such a high military quota for recruitment, and also why the population has been so dumbed down. I mean, I think public schooling should, you know, just very gradually be abolished.
I agree. That's why when I saw the curriculum that my son would be learning, I decided to just homeschool him. He learns more now than he would even in high school. He knows more than sixth and seventh grade students do. So there you go. Just, you know. But you know, so teachers are going to be armed. I think it's a great idea. I've gotten some mixed reviews. I posted on Facebook this morning. Some people are like, that's great. Some people are like, that's scary. Teachers should be teaching instead of, you know, shooting at people. But again, if you have a person who is capable and can effectively protect your children from a false flag operation that's going to come down on them, then I want that teacher armed.
Well, yeah, I mean, otherwise the children are completely left defenseless. And I mean, this is actually an ironic move. And I wouldn't have expected to see this in a state like Arkansas, home to Bill Clinton, I think is the alien pronunciation of his name. And how can this happen? You know, we've got school shootings all over the place. And how long has it taken? How long has it been since Columbine? I'm just checking my watch here for some reason, the watch that I don't have because I've just got a wrist. And it's been a while.
It's close to 10 years, I think, somewhere in that range.
All right. Okay. So let me just dig this. Let me see if I can get the U.S. administration, or rather just only one state, to the back of my head. Okay. We have a school shooting. Reason why the school shooting allows to happen is because no teachers on that school are armed, and it's a gun ban zone. As always happens in gun ban zones, more murders, more gun violence, because the criminals know that nobody's got guns to defend themselves with. Okay, so, and then 10 years later, one state, is this just the one school, or is this the whole state schools?
About six other states are thinking about this, but Arkansas is the first to actually do it.
Okay, so in 10 years, after all this information has been plowed into anybody's reasonable consciousness, which I think in the United States would encompass, I don't know, a couple of hundred people, we've finally come up with a reasonable solution. However, I wonder, is there something bad that might come out of this? I mean, There was, in fact, reports of a school shooting that was thwarted because the principal had a gun and he took the guy out barely before he could even get inside the school at all. And in fact, this happens quite a lot around America, where you will have people who are crazed, probably suffering withdrawal symptoms from their medications or something of that nature. And this is invariably what happens, is you'll have large quantities of psychotropic drugs that are in all these people to help keep them sane and safe, where in actual fact it makes them insane and completely dangerous. They get all of their murderous crime sprees and everything like that thwarted, because there just happens to be somebody there, coincidentally, luckily, whatever word you want to use, who has a concealed carry permit and takes them out before they kill every freaking body. Now, the other thing is, I wonder how many of these teachers in this Arkansas school are on psychotropic medications who might accidentally be the school shooter in waiting. I hate these freaking kids! Boing! Boing! Boing!
Well, statistically speaking, one out of four Americans is on a psychotropic drug. That's a lot of people. Operating vehicles, heavy equipment, parenting, taking care of your sick elderly people that you love so much that you stick them in a home and forget about them. Yeah.
Yeah. It gives a whole new meaning to the term Club Psychotropicana.
Yes.
Okay.
But here's another one that's really good, and this has to do with parental rights.
Have rights all of a sudden?
No, they don't. You have no rights. You have no rights. They've been taken away a long time ago.
That's not true. You have three rights: put up, shut up, and pay up. Those are the only three rights that you're guaranteed under the Constitution.
That sucks. Well, they want to put this as an amendment to the Constitution. It's called the Parental Rights Amendment. Now, this has been around for a long time. It started in 2008, but it's come back up. And
yes, they're just waiting for the right crisis in order to get it introduced, right?
Absolutely, yes. Originating with Senator Jim DeMint and three other senators in 2008. And so when it originally came out, it only had three sections. They've since added some more. In the third section is the part that's pretty scary. because it basically says, and I'm paraphrasing, that you have the right to fundamentally educate your child and direct their upbringing unless it serves governmental interest that it be deemed otherwise. So you get to be a parent unless it serves governmental interest that you're not a parent, and then you don't get to be a parent. And that would be added. That would be the 28th Amendment to the Constitution if it were ratified. And this would also give federal courts jurisdiction over your children.
Have you noticed the interesting words they use? Like ratify, for example. That's what the Congress or the Senate do or whatever. You know why they ratify things? Because they're a bunch of rats.
Well, they come up, yes, there's all this legal jargon, and people who don't have a Black's Law Dictionary, I suggest you buy one or continuously look it up online so you know exactly what they mean when they say normal words that don't apply the same in a legal document as it does in everyday speech.
Yeah. Which, but I think this is just complete BS. I reckon they should do away with legalese and have this thing called frickin' English.
Well, which English? You know, Americans speak a bastardized version of the Queen's English, and that's supposed to be the actual. It's not schedule, it's schedule. It's not leisure, it's leisure.
Yeah, but they mean the same thing. I mean, tomato, tomato, who gives a frick? We both know what we're talking about.
Well, I think that's just, you know, indicative of how archaic Americans are, you know, that we don't even speak English correctly. And we don't, actually. If you go to a high school, some librarians, my mother works in a library down in Florida, and she's always complaining.
I'm not sure if I want to hear this.
Well, she complains that the librarians can't structure a sentence when they're writing, passing notes to each other. And these are librarians. These are authorities in the library, and they can't structure a sentence. They don't know how to diagram a sentence. They don't know what a verb is, an adverb, an adjective. They don't understand how to use it.
Yeah,
punctuation.
But I don't think that's just, you know, Americans' fault. I think that's the government deliberately dumbing everybody down at the behest of the Federal Reserve bankers so that nobody would be able to structure a sentence, let alone realize that these banks have the ability to create $100 million in debt based on your signature and then own everything that you buy with that money and then never actually have to pay it back themselves or suffer any loss. It's called usury and fraud. If you can't structure a sentence or know what a noun or a verb or an adverb or an ad hominem attack is, how the frack are you going to figure that out? And that's exactly the agenda, in my opinion. I could be wrong.
No. I think you're onto something. But this crazy amendment, they're arguing whether or not they should ratify the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child or ratify this amendment, making it the 28th Amendment to the Constitution. That is a crazy argument that they would even debate that. Anyone who has read the UN Rights of the Child, it is a sick document. It is sick. And it should not be ratified in the United States.
Well, I think the UN itself should be abolished personally. You have a look at their development program. They got like a $9 billion budget, most of which goes to contaminated vaccines that they divvy out to Africa, forced sterilizing women. There's all bunch of like child kidnapping rings and stuff like that that are allegedly run with the UN say so and approval. And it's just a horrific organization. Who just basically sit there and say, hey, everybody's going to say it's the World Council and everything like that. And by the way, we have a Security Council with the whole powerful globalist scumbaggery, most dominated countries, who will basically veto anything that's good for everybody and make sure that everything that's bad for everybody goes right on through.
Absolutely. Because we're not trying to take care of problems. We're trying to get rid of more people so that we don't have any problems.
Yeah, because the problem is people, isn't it? And there'd actually be a lot of people who would actually agree with that statement. Isn't that sick? You know, you've got a whole bunch of brainwashed people out there who think that, oh, there's overpopulation. Then you have massive popularity of films like World War Z, for example, where you see people as ants or rushing violently and, you know, that kind of thing. And it just seems like a whole bunch of brainwashing propaganda to me. humans are not the problem. Scumbaggery is the problem. If you didn't have scumbaggery, you wouldn't really have many difficulties dealing with the other people around you, because if there were any actual problems, like if you couldn't feed people or if you couldn't house or clothe people or something, look, the US government spends enough on just drones alone that you could abolish poverty tomorrow if you just cut all that budget, all right? People ain't the problem. It's scumbaggery. Always has been. Always will be.
Absolutely it is. That is the problem. The problem is the way we treat each other, the way we're taught to treat each other. And the people who are behind all of that, sitting there laughing, while you and I are fighting over whether or not Trayvon Martin deserves civil rights and he should have died or not, and they're doing this.
Yeah. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you get infected by the Wetiko virus. Back in a minute.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all, well, just a little bit about history repeating. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You can check out the archives at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. And my very special guest is the lovely, the fabulous, the indictable... Suzanne Bozell. I don't know why I put an indictable there. I think it was funny anyway. And what were we talking about over the break? Oh, yeah. Look, if people are dissing us on their radio shows or anything like that, and you want to tell us about it, don't tell us about it, okay? Trust me. If people are dissing us on their radio shows, it's because they're a scumbag. It's just that freaking simple. And you know what happens when you think that a scumbag is out of your life and then people come at you and say, hey, the scumbags are committing some form of scumbaggery against you on their radio show or whatever. That disrupts the calm and chi and awesomeness that is ourselves. And it is not good. Stop telling us about it, please. I don't care. If somebody wants to like criticize me or criticize Suzanne, you know, they can go for their life. You know, they can just sit back and have no freaking originality, no existence that's worth living or anything like that. Fine. You know, don't tell us about it. We don't care. Well, actually we do care. Hugely, and that's why it upsets us so much and disrupts that frickin' chi. Anyway. Yes.
Well, speaking of history repeating, North Carolina has finally decided to compensate the more than 7,000 victims that were sterilized during the eugenics courts in the 1970s. Isn't that lovely? They have finally decided to pay them back for making sure that they'll never procreate again.
You know, I think that's interesting because the eugenics courts were still around even when the American Eugenics Society wasn't.
Wait a second.
Well, let's get the chronology right here. When did Planned Parenthood change their name from the American Eugenics Society?
'60s?
I thought it was like right after World War II kind of thing, because eugenics kind of had a bad name after it exterminated a whole bunch of people and caused a world war.
Yes. Well, the court system in North Carolina was alive and well up until 1974, and it started in 1929.
That was at least in just North Carolina. A whole bunch of other states, I'm sure, didn't keep it around for quite as long, right?
No, just recently in California, they were sterilizing female inmates who had one or more children because they might have more.
Yeah.
For any offense. It didn't even have to be something that would like murder or pedophilia or anything. The one woman was arrested for carjacking, and she was in jail for 2 years, and she was sterilized because she had a daughter.
Okay. Well, I presume they're probably doing this to as many as they possibly can. Oh, this woman got caught with a joint. Sterilized!
Yes. And then it'll take you, you know, several decades for, like, in the state of North Carolina to set aside $10 million. And they're only going to pay people a portion of that money if they go ahead and contact the state board and let them know that they were victimized by eugenic sterilization. They're okay. Not going to go seek anybody out.
Well, I think that's called state-sponsored terrorism, isn't it? It's even in Brave New World, isn't it, that they want to put sterilants in the water or something like that. Hey, have a look at the sperm count. Have a look at human fertility, okay? There's statistics somewhere, and it's obscenely low. Like I think it's like 1 or 2 or 3% of what it should be. Right? People
in the
were
United
fertile
States,
as frack back in the day, but now.
Yes, in the United States, it's 1.2 children born to each couple, statistically. That means that birth rates are declining because you would have to replace each person, the male and the female, in order to have at least the same population that you have now, let alone for growth, you'd have to have a third person involved. So, or a third person born, not involved.
Hey. Hey, can I get in here?
Well, actually, they did in the UK. They took a test tube and they put an egg and they put in 3 different strands of DNA from 3 different people, 2 women and a male, and fertilized the egg, and this baby was just born.
Did it have, like, 2 heads or something wrong with it?
No, nope, there's nothing wrong. In fact, it's a perfect child because it has no propensity to any diseases. It's a designer baby.
No propensity to any diseases. What about psychopathy?
It's probably filled with that.
Yeah. See, I was just wondering because the Illuminati or whatever you want to call them I've been trying to get in touch with Alan Watt. For a long time. Like, I think this is my 2nd year emailing. I'm trying to get him on the show for an interview. Hopefully I'll eventually get him because he's so freaking brilliant. And what I want to discuss with him most of all is the breeding programs that they've got. You know, they're obsessed with it. Absolutely, utterly obsessed. They control the marriages like it's a Middle Ages India. It's beyond a joke. And what occurs to me now is that they don't just want to have all these breeding programs for themselves. They, in fact, want it for all of us as well. So that we turn out more like them, I think. You know, cold, dark, scumbaggery, you know, that kind of thing. As soon as the goodness, light, and love is squeezed out of the human race like toothpaste out of a tube, they'll be happy. Well, and then they'll get really angry and probably kill everybody and lock themselves in deep underground military bases in the dark with the worst killers, psychopaths, and rapists and Satan and satanic scum that the world has ever seen. And that's their backup plan.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time to me.
Now that's plan B, bro. That's what it
is. Well, neuroscientists at MIT just implanted fake memories into the brains of rats. This is real. They were able to use optical fiber light. They were able to find in the frontal lobe where memories are stored and made. And they were able to implant an actual fake memory. It did not exist, but the rat reacted to the memory as if it had actually happened.
Well, what memory were they trying to implant? Like an extra nice tasting cheese or an extra scary cat?
I don't know. But they were using this as a maybe to treat post-traumatic stress disorder, get rid of unwanted memories. Sunshine, what was that? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind kind of thing. But it made me think about what you were just saying, where if they want to make an entire group controllable, they could just implant memories that never happened, and we would no longer have maybe the urge to be independent or the urge to be sovereign or ever having remembered when we were free.
Hey, they could imagine what they could do to somebody like you or I, you know, make us forget that we got families. Make us forget the scary knocks on the door by the police. Make us forget the entire careers that we've established out of exposing scumbaggery.
Absolutely. Imagine you come home to your wife or your husband and you don't recognize them, or they don't recognize you. The detachment, you know, that we would, you know, if we think that we're detached to each other now because of all the social engineering, this takes it a whole step farther.
Yeah. I mean, this is actual engineering, you know. Social engineering kind of happens like sort of passively, you know, like people can escape from it, people can wake up to it, that kind of thing. But this kind of engineering is actually literally physically in there, in your freaking brain, implanting actual memories or removing them.
And they used light. Remember in Men in Black when they did the little thing and they shine the light and everybody forgets?
The neuralizer.
That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, like people like just ambush John Key or something like that, sort of shapeshift into a reptilian or something, and then they just like neuralize and say, see, what you saw was actually a light reflected from Venus off of swamp gas.
Yes, and you'd be like, yep, exactly.
Yep, I mean, clearly.
And people, the part that really bothered me was the idea that if they wanted to control us and get rid of the human spirit, they would be able to just implant these memories away, that we were never free, that the revolution never happened here in the United States, that there was never any sovereignty, that we were always the way that we are now, which would be in the future for the future generations, that there was never a time that humanity was never not enslaved. You know what I mean?
Have you ever
Nobody
seen
would
the
fight
film?
Back.
Have you ever seen the film Oblivion with Tom Cruise?
That is one. Yes, that is one of the freakiest films. To me, these are horror films, by the way.
Well, see what you're describing here, the ability to implant memories and detach some of them and that kind of thing is almost exactly the plot line of Oblivion.
Yes, and the whole time he thought he was working for the good guys and he found out he wasn't.
Yeah. And this could now physically happen to us. Now, isn't it interesting that films come out and then not too long afterwards, real research comes out that proves what the film is telling people was possible in the future is actually now possible today. Like the film Surrogates, for example, came out and then not long after it, I think the military comes out with these biomechanical sort of androids that can come out that you can use as a surrogate. And I'm just wondering, I just read an article this morning out of the BBC about how many disaster movies there are. And what the critics are saying is that people are now obsessed with disaster movies because they've got this post-traumatic thing from September 11th. And they also have this this delusion that they want to fulfill, whereby they can experience disaster death on a mass scale and come out of the movie theater unscathed. And I was just thinking about this. What were all the youth and people obsessed with towards the fall of Rome? They were obsessed with death. There was this whole culture of it. The games in the Colosseum. Somebody actually really dies, you know, their throat cut out and stuff like that. This isn't just movie fiction or something, and they're all sitting around cheering, yay! This is what's happening now. And it's the sign of a declining culture, and apparently it's happened in many, many cultures before ours, whereby the people become obsessed with the process obsessed with the results of murder, death, killing, and eventually their society dies with it.
Well, this would mean that the entire globe, because we're a global society now, would crash. And that would just mean that the controllers would be able to wait until the dust settles and start back up again, because it seems to be that's what they do. You know, whenever a society or a civilization crashes, because they cause the crash, they love the destruction. They just wait until the dust settles, and then they start up again with their religion and their hierarchy and their monarchies, and then just start controlling everything over again. That's sick that we're on this roller coaster and we can't get off.
Yeah, well, I think we can get off, but the problem is it means we have to make the roller coaster crash when it's inconvenient for the ones in charge of the roller coaster. They're planning to have it crash in the first place. We need to crash it beforehand, or at least this is theoretically speaking. Honestly, I don't want to see no crash. I don't want to see no blood in the streets. I don't want to see no civil war. What I want to see, ultimately, at the end of the day, is all these elite criminal bankster scum to be put in an arena, and they have to kill each other, and only one will survive, and they'll have to live in a mansion by themselves under armed guard for the rest of their life. We'll call it the Banker Games. And it'll be great, you know. And I just did my Facebook status this morning. It doesn't take long to make $100 million if you can just make it up on a computer the second someone gives you their signature. And then charge them interest. Then own everything they buy with that money if they can't pay it back. No wonder the banks have the largest buildings in every major city.
Absolutely. You can see it a mile away as you're driving into the city. You see in downtown Seattle, you see the Washington Mutual building before anything else, before you even see the Space Needle. It's the biggest building in there.
You've got to be freaking kidding me. How can people even waltz by and not notice this absolute disparity between the ability to make money, like through creativity, entrepreneurship, and the ability to make money up through fraud and scumbaggery? We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the breed of uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter?
Welcome back. What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to my affiliates around in New Zealand, Rush FM in Hamilton, Tauranga, and soon to be Raglan, I think. Dagsy FM up in Whangarei. Dagsy, you're my man, you're my homeboy. And Ifinity FM in the south. The deep south, as I'd say in Little Nicky. And I really hate the cold. Does anybody else out there really like not just feel uncomfortable with the cold, but actually have a kind of a pathological rage bile duct kind of sensation when there's just too much cold? You just get really, really angry with it. It's like, fuck you! I hate you! I hate you! I hate the cold. I really don't like it. Which is why I will never, ever go and live in a very, very, very cold place. Okay? Unless I'm not planning to leave the place and it happens to have full-on central heating, which doesn't freaking happen because I always want to go out and do things. Right. Suzanne Posel is my very special guest. And what were we talking about over the break? You were talking about something like, oh, yeah, the pacemakers. This is a great story. Okay, let me sum up for people. It combines two of the favorite things that people like to talk about and do, whether you're a good person or a psychopath, saving people's lives and killing people. They've now got pacemakers, right, that can either shock you when your heart stops working and bring you back to life, or shock you when your heart's already working and bring you to the other side. meaning dead.
Yes, Barnaby Jack has passed away. He was the director of embedded device security at IO Active, and his death is mysterious. It was ruled as a natural causes. I'm sorry. Not natural causes, but the coroner is determining that. The police said there was no foul play involved. But it's interesting. See, this gentleman was going to bring forth research that he's been doing for several years on these type of defibrillators that are put implanted into the and pacemakers. And so if you are prone to heart attacks, the defibrillator would shock you back to life until the EMTs got there. But he was going to show how hackers could hack into it and kill someone remotely from about 30 feet away. And they didn't want anybody to know about that. So he's dead. He's dead, and he's not going to be presenting this at the Black Hat Conference in San Francisco that's going on right now. In fact, his slot might have already been filled. But here's the interesting part about that, if that's not the only interesting part. The Food and Drug Administration has been warring with the manufacturers of these devices because they say that it could be hacked into. They're breach of security. It's electronic, and it could be somebody with a laptop could be sitting there controlling the equipment. And the manufacturers keep saying, no, it's safe, and the FDA asks for documentation, schematics of the device so that they can look for any security breaches. This is going back and forth. Meanwhile, Barnaby Jack discovers that, yes, it is remotely controlled, or it could be remotely controlled. It could be used for nefarious purposes. It could be used to kill people. And the manufacturers probably don't want that out right now since they're trying to get it approved and there's billions of dollars involved. So
did Barnaby Jack have one of these devices in him while he was exposing that it could kill him and then he gets killed by it?
No, I don't know if he was actually his own guinea pig. I don't know. He was 36 years old. He was my age, and he's not that old. So I would assume that maybe like Breitbart, he was probably in relatively good health, and he just mysteriously died.
Yeah. Now, this is another thing that really does concern me as well, because I know a lot of whistleblowers and people like that. And when they die, almost all of the work that they can do throughout their entire life to expose scumbaggery dies with them. Always. At every point throughout history that I've seen where things can go really awry, if somebody doesn't do something, there's usually only one person that does something. And if they kill that person, surprise, surprise, nothing gets done about it. You know, like Bradley Manning, for example. Oh, he's been acquitted on this charge of aiding the enemy. And yet, he's going to go to jail for the rest of his life. Explain that one to me. You know? How can you jail somebody for doing the right thing, for acting in their conscience? And they interview this general, retired U.S. Army, and he says, us soldiers are supposed to obey orders and show loyalty. Obviously, he's never heard of the freaking Nuremberg trials. Never heard of them. No, they didn't happen. They didn't happen. Following orders, if they're unlawful, if you kill innocent people as a result of following those orders, means that you're guilty. And you have to suffer consequences. Not just follow orders blindly. Are you listening, military, police, anybody? Can you get it through your heads? You're actually supposed to follow your conscience, follow the law, not orders. Orders are sure, fine. You just do a quick scan. Is that order legal? Yep. Follow it. Is that order, in fact, completely the opposite of what's right, of what's moral, of what's ethical, of what's lawful? Yep, then shoot your officer. Okay? That's how it's supposed to work, because otherwise that officer, being a psychopath most likely, otherwise he wouldn't have given those orders, will probably have you court-martialed or killed, executed for insubordination. All right? I don't even want to talk about this. You know why? Because it'll tick off a lot of people, the wrong kind of people. Isn't that interesting? That if you tell people to follow their hearts and follow their conscience and do the right thing, people think that you're an agitator, that you're dangerous, that you're a terrorist. What does that say about what terrorism really is? It's actually a system of government. Now look it up in the frickin' dictionary if you don't believe me. It's a system of government whereby the government uses terrifying techniques to get everybody to do exactly what it wants. That's what terrorism actually is. You live in a terrorist state. If they tell you there's a war on terrorism, hey, you're fighting on the wrong side. Wake up. Stop taking those orders. I haven't taken orders in a long, long time. I ain't going to start anytime soon. It's because I know that anybody who really wants power, who wants to boss me around, ain't worth following.
Well, along these lines, you know, Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, who shot and killed 16 civilian Afghanis last year, has been sent to jail because of that. Now, here's the interesting part. He was given a dose of mefloquine, which is a drug to treat malaria. Now, this drug is known to cause psychiatric symptoms in a number of patients ranging from anxiety, paranoia, depression, hallucinations, and psychotic behavior. If symptoms occur, they may, in rare cases, commit suicide or homicide. And if any of these symptoms are shown in the patient immediately must be taken off the drug so that an alternate can be substituted. And so he was on this drug when he had his psychotic or homicidal episode and killed 16 Afghani civilians, including women and children. Now, he's going to jail. He did kill them. But where's the guy who gave him the pill? And why isn't he sitting in jail? And where is the administrator in the Department of Defense that said it's okay to give people drugs that cause psychotic behavior and homicidal behavior in their own civilians? I mean, in their own soldiers. Where's that guy? And why isn't he sitting in a jail cell?
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about the war on terrorism the other day. In fact, we were just talking about it with an ex-member of Anonymous. And I think the video is on my YouTube channel. They say that there's a war on terrorism, right? And they say that there's terrorists in Afghanistan. So what they do is they go over to Afghanistan, where there are no terrorists, and blow up a whole bunch of innocent people. And the families of those innocent people become insurgents because they want revenge. They want justice for a whole bunch of people who invaded their country for no frickin' reason and just started killing their family. And then the US government goes, "See? See? We told you there were terrorists there." You made them up. You freaking made them up.
Like, yes, honestly. Anytime you hear about the rebels or, like you said, the insurgents, these are people who've had their lands taken from them, their families murdered and butchered, their homes burned down, and they are considered rebels when they all get together, all the men who are left get together and say, you know what, guys, our families are dead, our homes are burned down, what do we have left? Let's just go and grab whatever we can find and fight these guys.
Yeah. What would you do? If the United States was invaded by a foreign nation, in fact, it already is. It's called the New World Order, and they've invaded you economically. It's far easier to take over a country economically because people don't see that there's a real enemy invading. People don't see how all of their military apparatus and how all their bulwarks are stationed and all of their fortresses and so on and so forth. They don't see them. They think they just look like normal office buildings. They're actually outposts watching over you so that they can see any perceivable threat that you might pose to their will and dominance over your country. What would you do if somebody was actually physically, militarily invading you? What would you do if you saw your mother executed on her knees in the street in front of you and you had nothing that you could do but watch from afar? You're trying to avenge her, wouldn't you? by any means necessary, bring it on. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide, because if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. And it occurred to me, I've been getting very, very serious during this episode. I don't know why, but I have been. And we're going to take some callers. I know we don't take callers very often on this show. It's because normally, and no offense to the callers, it's best just to let the guests talk. And sometimes when you invite on callers, it just kind of takes you off on tangents, and it's just kind of like a waste of time. But today we really want to actually open the phone lines up and have a chat with y'all. So the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525 is that number to ring in if you can be asked. And Suzanne Posel is my very special guest, and we've been talking about a number of different issues today, from pacemakers to literal memory, mind control, disaster movies, and the obsession with death culture, and your country being taken over economically, and the instigation of terrorism by the United States worldwide. This country's been turned into the bullies of the world. You know, Bill Hicks was right. He was exactly right. You're like Jack Palance in the movie Shane, throwing a pistol at the sheep herder's feet. Pick it up. I don't want to miss you. You shoot me. Pick up the gun. And come on. Where is this heading? And why are people not doing enough about it already? I mean, how long did it take me? I think it took me about maybe 3 years. About 3 years, maybe. I'm listening to talk radio and watching documentaries and things of that nature before I had what I considered to be enough information to feel confident when I spoke, to then just start going out and spreading the information to other people. It was just because there wasn't really anybody in New Zealand doing it to any great extent that I could see. There were a few people with a radio show, like one day a week, one day a month, or something of that nature. I'd probably say the closest thing that we have to a truth movement guru in this country is Jonathan Eisen and Catherine Smith, who do these magazines, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine and Uncensored magazine. And it just occurred to me that there's not enough video, there's not enough radio getting out there around with any kind of New Zealand context. And, you know, we do talk a lot about a lot of American issues on the show. But what's funny is that when I first started listening to American talk show hosts and getting all this information about the New World Order, what I realized really early on in the piece is that everything that is happening in America, almost everything that's happening in America today that is completely messing the country up and enslaving its people is happening to New Zealand. And then the Australians are listening to my show and I'm talking about New Zealand and the issues, and they're like, oh my God, mate, everything that's happening in New Zealand is happening in Aussie too. I was like, that's right, mate. Everything's happening in all over the place. Okay, it's a global system. We can't escape it. Okay, you know what you're supposed to do when you can't escape, when you're backed into a corner? You bite and you fight like a cornered dog, all right? That's what really needs to be done here. You don't have any more retreats. No more retreating, ladies and gentlemen. Stop. And this is the other thing. And I want to get your take on this, Suzanne, in a minute. Bradley Manning goes to jail because he reported the truth, okay? He leaked these documents. And the news article that I was reading, the news story that I was watching last night said that because this person went to jail for doing the right thing, it will prevent many others from doing the right thing. Absolutely correct assessment of the situation. Absolutely. This is why you got to sacrifice yourself. Okay? Regardless of what consequences might come your way, there is no glory without sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. There is no great accomplishment without losing some of yourself in the process. There is nothing worth doing unless somebody else does not want you to do it. Suzanne?
Well, absolutely. He's going... I heard something recently when Edward Snowden came out. And there's been all this talk about what a whistleblower is and what how to define a whistleblower if they give out information that we already know. Is it really whistleblowing? The point is that he has been described in mainstream media as a leak. That is because Obama had set up some, including some executive orders, but some directives about whistleblowers. And to give somebody that kind of status after you place those parameters out there and then someone comes out and gives out information that kind of screws up your entire administration and exposes things that to previous administrations that nobody really wanted anybody to know, that we all knew, but it's nice to actually have proof that it's actually really happening, that we have a name of the programs and the people who are involved and exactly what they're doing and how they have it and what exactly they have. It's nice to know that everything we've been talking about is actually really happening. It's validation. It feels good, even though it sucks that it's happening. So to then take away that status as a whistleblower and tack on leaker, that is redefining what it means to be a traitor to our country. And I see a lot of articles out there about whether or not Bradley Manning is a traitor and how this is going to redefine what a traitor actually is.
A traitor is a person who protects the integrity of the United States. A patriot is somebody who destroys the Constitution and enslaves the people of the United States.
Absolutely. So that would mean everyone sitting on Capitol Hill who was elected is a traitor.
What's the punishment for treason again? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's death. No wonder they're scared to death of people like Bradley Manning, because that's what that might actually happen to them. Okay, and I don't know. Why is it that people value their own life over everybody else's? You know, I just... Some people have a greater calling in life, and they understand that they're only one life and that everybody else's is worth giving their own life for. Whereas other people, they say that my life is way more valuable and everybody should die to serve my agenda. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. You can't sacrifice everybody else to save yourself. You can only sacrifice yourself to save everybody else. You've got to make a choice about it, you know? And that's what Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden and a number of other whistleblowers throughout the year have really taught me. Just as a patriot, as a somebody who cares about humanity, just in general, you know, my concern for humanity doesn't stop at the New Zealand border mark. You know, it doesn't stop there; it encompasses many, many more. And people forget that is that you can make that choice, and you can accomplish a heck of a lot for so many more people if you make that choice. People are afraid. They don't want to do that, on the other hand, because you do lose things as a result of making that choice. I've lost a hell of a lot of things. You know, I don't have any friends that I used to have in my life, save one. My mate Jono, he's like the only friend that's actually stuck with me through thick and thin. All the rest of them are new friends, truth of friends, you know, that kind of thing that I've met since doing right by humanity. And these are the kind of people who will stay friends because, well, just as long as I keep doing right by humanity, of course. Who knows? I might get bribed and take it and just go like, you know what? I'm sick of counting these $1 a month donations from people who subscribe to the Vinnie Eastwood show. I'm sick of having to wait 6 months or something like that so I can get some decent soap. Speaking of soap, this is an interesting story. Yesterday, I gave a plug to Angela Foreman from the Gourmet Soap Kitchen because I just received a care package from her with a number of bars of soap. And this is a bit of a personal detail, so you know, bear with me on this one. When you're in the studio and you've got the lights above you and you're wearing a suit jacket and all of that kind of thing, things can get pretty sweaty, pretty disgusting. And what was strange was even when I was washing myself, washing my armpits, that they would still reek of body odor even after freshly being washed. I couldn't get the smell out of them, all right? And the first time in, I think, months, I think, I've been out of Angela's soap, the first time I washed myself with Angela's soap, that smell that I couldn't get rid of for months disappeared. Just disappeared. And it's a blessed lack of reek. It was awesome. Angela, thank you so much. You make me not reek. Your soap is freaking awesome. I just wanted to say that. This is really important, I think.
It is really important. Can I have some? I love my husband, but can I have some?
Man stink doesn't go away, you know. It's kind of like New World Order infiltration. It just penetrates everything, you know. Ugh.
Yes, it attacks to the deep down in your DNA, and then it's not good, guys. It's bad.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, and the problem with deodorant is that a lot of it's got hazardous chemicals in it. You know, you got aluminum.
Yeah,
I mean, look, your husband will smell nice, but he won't be able to remember your name.
Oh, yes, and then it'll cause cancer because it's plugging up the pores that are actually supposed to be open to so you can air yourself out. Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. He'll smell good for a few minutes, but yeah, he'll die of cancer and won't remember who you are.
I mean, come on. You know, this is not good enough. And Angela also sells off of her website sandalwood cream deodorant. And when you're getting out into the protests and things like that I do, you know, walking up and down the main city streets sometimes two or three times in a day, running around with the cameras, the megaphones, the microphones, and so on and so forth, you can build up one heck of a reek, and it's not good. And that's even after putting on deodorant first, you know, by after a couple of hours of that stuff, it just completely saturates you. It's gone through all this time. Not the sandalwood cream deodorant, on the other hand. It's got like a, I don't know what the heck it's got in it. I mean, the sandalwood, obviously, but it works incredibly well. It just got rid of all of that. And it's not like one of those stinky deodorants, because my friend, Catherine Smith from the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. She's I used to wear a lot of deodorant, and when I went around to their house, she'd actually start to get a migraine because of the hydrocarbons that come out of these normal deodorants. And so I'd stopped wearing deodorant going around there. So instead of getting a headache from the stinky deodorant, she'd get some other kind of ache because of stinky me. So I managed to get a balance out of this scenario. You know, that was just great. Here we are talking about my man stink.
Is there a caller?
No, there is no caller. I think the man stink put him off.
It's bad when you can smell it through the radio.
Oh, dude, you know, smell-o-vision would be a really, really bad invention, I think. But in fact,
maybe her soap could be like the official soap of the activists.
Yeah. Activists don't stink. You know, we can come up with some kind of slogan. Yeah. The gourmet soap kitchen, the soap for activists, so that when you're sweating your ass off, and biting your own fingernails off for fear of the New World Order coming in and exterminating you and your family and dragging you out into the street and pulling bullets in your head, at least you'll smell good. Did I go too far?
No.
You imagine the soldiers going away with like blood on their hands or something. It's like, damn, those people we just executed smelled fabulous. And it's like, I know, bro. What the hell was it?
Yeah, go back in the house and get that deodorant.
Yeah, man. I mean, seriously. I mean, didn't New Orleans teach you anything? We can take whatever we want out of these houses. Go find that friggin' soap, yo. No, seriously.
Coming soon, baby bath. No.
Yeah. I mean, the gourmet soap kitchen in Wagga Wagga is going to be the first place the New World Order hits, you know. It's just like strategic reserves.
How can these activists smell so good? Damn it.
Can you imagine all these people paratrooping in, you know?
Yeah, like they do with the raw milk.
Yeah, totally.
Or SWAT team members with, like, you know, huge guns. And
yeah, like five C-130s full of C-130 Hercules full of troops just paratrooping out of that motherfucker. And just, you know, like, God, dude. All of the, and they've been cramped in the plane for like about 4 hours while they've been flying on from some freaking outpost base or something like that with 20,000 US troops in Australia that they got now. And then they're stuck in this plane together and it smells terrible, you know. It's just like, hey, guys, can you tell the pilot to swing past Wagga Wagga? We're going to pick up some supplies. Okay, these guys back here, they freaking reek, okay? And I was listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show one time when I was surveilling him, and he talked about this gourmet soap kitchen, and apparently this stuff works, okay? It's worth a shot. It'll only cost us about $4 million to paratroop us all in there. I'm telling you, the soap is freaking worth it. Get us there. Look, yeah, don't argue with me. You're not back here with the rest of the troops. Having your nostrils burned by omission, okay? This is not sanitary back here, bro. Get us the frack to Wagga Wagga. Don't mess around, yo. But seriously, though, go to the gourmet soap kitchen, okay? There's a banner on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com homepage, and get some of this damn soap, ladies and gentlemen. It's so amazing, like amazingly good. And Angela's a really good lady as well. So check it out, gourmetsoapkitchen.com, I believe. We'll be right back after the break with Suzanne Posel at OccupyCorporatism.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The caller lines are open, by the way. I wasn't joking. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And I also wanted to ask if people would be generous enough to go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, either through the bank account that we've got there, the Kiwi Bank account. I think you're capable of doing international transfers. Apparently, you need some sorts of codes or whatever. If you're savvy, you can find them out. But if you deposit $5 a month, just set up an automatic payment of $5 a month. If I had 500 people doing $5 a month, that's $2,500 a month. Okay. Now, the reason why I actually want some decent funding, and the reason why I want it from the people rather than the advertisers, is because the advertisers need results, okay? The people, on the other hand, they expect different results. They expect me to keep doing this work. They expect keeping to hear me on the radio 5 days a week. They expect to keep having those YouTube videos and everything of that nature put up there. And if you've been watching my career steadily over the time, you'll notice that not only have I become a better host, but we've gotten better guests and we've gotten better equipment, and we've gotten better studio lights, we've gotten a big massive display TV behind me, and all of this kind of stuff. So every single dollar or every single piece of equipment that you donate only makes things better and come at you more frequently. What I want to do, what I want to start expanding into is being able to travel around the country to cover different stories. For example, there's a woman called Kerry Campbell, who is the first woman, as far as I know, in history to make a $15 million withdrawal from her bank. A $15 million deposit into her bank using the same trick that the banks do by making it up with a signature. Okay, and she's been thrown in jail for this. And she's just doing it to prove that it can be done, to prove that the banking system is a fraud. And so naturally, because she proved that the banking system was a fraud, she gets charged with fraud and thrown in jail. You scumbags! You know, she's a mother of
eight. How exactly did she get that done?
I don't know. Apparently, you can do it. Anybody can do it. You know, all you need is like a signature and a bank account or whatever. I don't know. Short answer. You can check out this article that I think I posted it on my Facebook. I can't recall where exactly it is. But point is, she actually contacted me a number of days before doing it, asking me to come down and cover the story at the courthouse at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. And I would have gone, except I was broke. And now she's in jail. And I wasn't there to cover the freaking story. You know, that's actually really, really kind of angers me. And it's nobody's fault but my own. You know, I can't be everywhere. I can't do that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, what it did do is it taught me a lesson that I actually do need to be able to travel relatively quickly to locations around the country sometimes to cover really important events that I know for a fact that no other alternative media person in this country will be capable of covering to any decent extent, usually, and no mainstream media will cover probably at all, usually. Okay? I really do. I have taken personal responsibility for the alternative media in this country. That's what I've done. And as a direct result, I need funding from the people that I'm serving, which is you, the listeners, you, the viewers. I need funding from you in order to continue to do this work and, moreover, to expand my ability to do this work. The more you give me, the more I can do. And I need that that income to be regular so I don't have to keep coming on radio and basically putting my hand out like a pauper beggar out of Oliver Twist. Okay? Stop making me beg. Just go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, subscribe for $5 a month. We'll give you your commercial-free archives, you know. Just contact me and tell me you subscribed or whatever. I'll send you the links. There's no worries, mate. Okay? This is what it's all about. I'll give you whatever you want. I just need that security so that when I finish my work at the end of the day, I don't have to worry where's my dinner coming from tonight. Okay? If I'm well funded, I'd actually be able to get myself some pants. All right? I split my pants in half when I was at the protest the other day, bending down to pick up some signs. I don't even have money to replace those pants. I need some new pants, yo. I need new shoes. My dress shoes that I'm wearing to these conferences and things like that, if you looked closely underneath them, they're held together with freaking duct tape. Okay? I need to look respectable. Not like a freaking bum wearing a moth-eaten cardigan. I need to project some kind of a BS image, if you will, of authority. Okay? So that all these other people who think that, well, anybody who just not wearing like proper clothes and things like that is just a bum in a rickety protest. You know, those people, they're easily mind controlled. All you got to do is wear a suit, and all of a sudden they think you tell the truth. It's just that easy. So please, again, I'm very, very much worth it. go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe for $5 a month. It's not that hard to afford $5 a month. Okay? It's like a dollar a week. You spend more of that on a cup of coffee in some countries. And this is your part being played to ensure that alternative media, at least in New Zealand, exists and has the ability to cover news around the country, around the clock. And not only that, but of course, with all the guests and everything like that that I bring on the show, many of which would never have a platform given to them anyway, we can cover all the international issues as well. A people's funded media. That's what I want. And this way, if an activist comes to me and says, Vinny, I need help with this, that, and the other, I can't say, I want to be able to say to them, here's a camera, here's a microphone, film it yourself. I'll teach you how to use it in 5 minutes. I'm really good at teaching people how to use simple technology. Go out and prosper, my son. And if you want to upload stuff, I'll give you the YouTube name and password to my channel so that you can edit and do your own videos, because I want to set these activists up so that they don't need me anymore. Okay? Unfortunately, I need you, the audience, in order to do that. All right. This is a symbiotic relationship. If you like listening to the show, if you've been listening to it for free for years, please contribute something. I mean, what's your excuse? This is an proviso, though. If you can't take care of yourself or your family, don't try and take care of me. Okay? And if you can't take care of me, don't feel guilty about it. Okay? Everybody's on a similar boat. It's the same thing. Right, I got that out of the way. Just kind of, yeah, really in a, really just kind of cutting by the skin of my teeth. Ain't doing it for me anymore. Suzanne Posel is my guest. Do you have any other articles you'd like to share with us today, Suzanne?
Oh, yeah, there's always something going on. I wrote an article this week about how the government and marijuana industry lobbies are fighting against legalization in the United States. What? Marijuana lobbies? What? Yes, it's true.
Probably because they're getting a lot of funding from drug dealers who don't want it to be made legal, because then they'd actually have to do things like pay tax, not stand over people in order to get the money off them.
Yes, in Massachusetts, the Department of Health is pushing for applicants to set up dispensaries to pay over $31,000 in fees for licensing and show that they have liquid assets as collateral. And it's in the several, what is it, at least $500,000 in liquid capital as assurance for operation costs. Are you flipping kidding me? And now, there's more.
go ahead.
Then you have the marijuana lobbies, who are fighting against the legalization and using, medical marijuana caregivers joined a group of anti-legalization enforcement organizations to push against the legalization of possession of marijuana in small quantities within state borders. They're not worried about the federal part. They're just trying to get the states that have legalized it and the states that are legalizing it for recreational or medicinal use to make sure that they can't get that done.
Go on.
They say that the people who are benefiting financially would prefer that they see nothing change. So the marijuana culture, the industry of marijuana, is already prospering whether or not it's legal. And they don't want it to change. They don't want people to get their marijuana from a dispensary or from a clinic or, God forbid, from somewhere else where they can get it cheaper. They want to have monopoly over where the marijuana is distributed to and how much it costs to the customer. This is like Big Pharma for pot.
It's like Big Pothead.
It's incredible. So that... this is insane. Marijuana has so many medicinal purposes, let alone that it would calm everybody down and everybody would be happy, and the worst thing that would happen is a bag of chips would get attacked. And but you know, you can be drunk.
You
and
just
drive.
Imagine that, you know, just bag of Doritos sitting there, minding its own business, and all of a sudden, vicious cannabis user comes in. You're like, ah.
Reminds me of that film you were just telling me about, Zombieland. Yeah, sure. Sit on the side of the road and watch a bunch of high guys just attacking a bag of Doritos.
Eating their manwich. Crack open the bones of the Doritos and suck out the marrow.
Suck out the GMO. Oh, it tastes so good.
GM marrow.
GM marrow, exactly. Well, in Canada, there was a man who made it.
Incidentally, patented by GM Marrow Lynch.
One of these days, you're going to have to teach me how you do this so quickly.
It's called making stuff up, and half the time they fall flat. So, you know, be prepared.
Well, there was a guy in Canada, and this is part of the argument. He made a documentary about how he cured his own skin cancer using oil derived from cannabis. And this is really
Rick Simpson?
I believe so. And the International Medical Veritas Association has placed cannabis oil on their schedule for cancer treatments. And this is over in France, I believe. This is the crux of the argument. We don't need their pharmaceuticals that cause us to have homicidal tendencies and kill people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, on the one hand, you have terrible psychological breakdown, organ failure, mass murder and death. And on the other hand, you have a cure that makes you a little bit sleepy and get you rest. Let's just see if we can weigh this up here. Psychological breakdown and death, cured and being a little bit sleepy. Is this a difficult decision?
No. And here's something interesting. Now, it's illegal on the federal level, right? Well, the Department of Veterans Affairs has enabled clinics and hospitals to prescribe medical marijuana to patients in 14 states. Those 14 states that have it legal and also legal for medicinal use. Although the doctors are not admonished to prescribe the marijuana to veterans, it is still at their discretion. That it can be prescribed in lieu of pain medication that couldn't be prescribed because of X or Y reason. Isn't that interesting? A federal agency is going against federal laws.
Well, isn't that what they normally do?
We made the law. It doesn't apply to us.
Yeah, I mean, we make the laws. We don't follow them, you know. Do as I say, not as I do. That reminds me of my mum's friend Gary, who was getting into me and my mate Will. We were outside Video Easy on Waiheke Island one day, you know. We were just getting ourselves a DVD, and he's sipping a bottle of scotch, and he gets into his car, and he goes, don't drink and drive, kids. Do what I say, not do as I do. That's the government.
Yeah, because the Obama administration actually had to answer. There was a petition on wethepeople.gov, and it got 300,000 signatures plus, so he had to answer. And so the Obama administration admitted or said that their stance on the legalization of marijuana falls back to the National Institutes of Health, which says that marijuana is associated with addiction, respiratory disease, and cognitive impairment. Now, I will admit that some people, when they're high, are pretty damn stupid. But I wouldn't go as far as to say that they're cognitively impaired.
Yeah, I think if anything, people who are anti-cannabis are certainly cognitively impaired. I mean, look, what was his name? Oh, please, Dr. Bob Melamed. Okay, if you want to learn about how marijuana makes you smarter and indeed heals your body and indeed is essential for human evolution, you want to listen to Bob Melamed? You can search him up on my YouTube channel, MELE. Frack, I'm having a brain fade. Of course I am.
Couldn't be a little marijuana.
MELAMEDE. That's the one. Melamed. Okay, it's like melamine, except it doesn't kill your babies in China. We'll be right back after the break at thevideoeastwardshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks.
Wayne. but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about being an incredible, edible, extraterrestrial. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we're working on the archives there at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I want to give a shout-out to Kevin Caldwell for getting his getting his problems sorted and starting to actually help out get those archives up at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. He's actually started on them and has something to show for it, so it's just brilliant, brilliant, because we've been really concerned about the network, and all the hosts have kind of come together, really are pulling their own weight as a bunch of personally responsible people should do. And it's really good, because we really are a family here at American Freedom Radio, and we definitely pull together when times are tough. So I wanted to give a shout out to Kevin, to yourself, Suzanne, particularly to the one holding the network together right now, is our producer, Adam. This man is a king among men. He has so much strength and power and incredible ability that it's just beyond compare. I challenge anybody to do for American Freedom Radio what he has done. I don't think such a person exists, and I want to acknowledge him for that. Okay, so final segment here, Suzanne. This cannabis topic is, in fact, really, really quite a big one. I was on Time for Hemp with Casper Leach earlier on in the week, I think. Or was it last week? I forget which. I must have been high. And what I found very interesting is that even if you pay tax, this was funny. We were talking about a guy who actually had a marijuana lab set up. Okay, it was fully legal, fully legit. He was paying taxes. He only just sent them a check for like $7,500 or something like that to the state. And then they raided him wearing desert camouflage in the jungle, of all things.
Yeah, because it looks like a jungle inside one of those dispensaries.
Oh, it's a jungle out there. They're wearing Iraq kind of what you would wear, desert camouflage, right? And it's not in a desert area at all. Like, it's like, dude, your camouflage that you're wearing is actually making you stand out. Hence, it's not camouflage. Okay? Camouflage helps you blend in, not help you stand out. Why weren't you wearing high visibility jackets? Why weren't you wearing an LED panel saying, "I am a fascist pig" on your frickin' uniform?
Well, they're also putting out these like bogus studies that say, oh, the edibles at the dispensaries, kids are getting into them and we need to make them childproof because kids are getting high and they're little kids, you know, like my kids, not my kids, but you know, like small kids, and they're getting high and they're eating these edibles, so they're going to the emergency room all high and we don't know what to do with them, so we need to outlaw marijuana.
Yeah, dear God, children have gotten their hands on something that's never killed anybody, and let's put it in a time frame, ever. Oh, my God. And they go into the emergency room, and they cannot die from it. They cannot die. However, when they're in the emergency room, they pump them up on a whole bunch of drugs that they can die from.
Yeah, they're saying that the kids are coming in hallucinating, panic attacks, anxiety, depression, nausea, coma. Come on. Look, kid is going into a coma after eating an edible. Come on.
Worst case scenario, they'll come into the emergency room asleep, right?
That right. Is not a coma.
It's like, wake out of your coma, wake out of your coma. I'm trying to sleep, man. Give a shot of adrenaline instead. Come on. You know, like Pulp Fiction.
If you play some SpongeBob SquarePants, the kids will wake up. Hey, it's not a coma.
Have you ever watched SpongeBob SquarePants?
My children have been introduced to SpongeBob SquarePants, and yes, I have. In the last 2 weeks, I've watched way more than any human being should possibly watch, and I don't like it.
I love SpongeBob SquarePants. Awesome. It's the funniest stuff ever. It really is actually hilarious to me. It's quite good comedy, I think. But yeah, the kids are obsessed with it. You know, I used to look after these boys when I was being paid to do so. It's just like, you know, you mentioned SpongeBob, and it says SpongeBob. Oh,
my God. Thank you. They do. We were at the store, and we were trying to buy some Sterilite tubs, and we passed by a towel in the bath area where it was SpongeBob, and my 2-year-old ran over and she started singing the song, and I was like, oh my God, she's programmed.
Now, what is it that SpongeBob is supposed to teach you? Because Patrick the starfish is obviously the cliche stoner character, you know, like Cheech and Chong style.
How do you do that?
What are we doing? What are we going today, SpongeBob?
Now,
I need another Krabby Patty.
Okay, well, Patrick, I'll whip you up once first.
Oh my God, that is crazy. Well, what does Squidward represent then?
He represents just a duck.
Is this like a stoner show that I don't know about? Does it have implications?
Okay, well, here's the question then. Can you watch it stoned and have it suddenly make a hell of a lot more sense to you?
I'll let you know tomorrow.
All right, this is an experiment in the sake of science.
I will do it, sir. Yeah. I will sacrifice myself for the betterment of children everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And then when your children find that you're laughing your ass off to SpongeBob SquarePants, they go like, "Mommy, can we have some edibles too?"
No, because then the doctors at the emergency room are going to think you're in a coma when you're taking a nap. No.
Yeah, you mean not until you're older, son. And then you won't need me to go get it for you.
You know, the funny thing is, like, kids whose parents are trying to be all discreet about it will then, when they get to be teenagers, realize they go over to their friend's house and they smell that same smell. And they're like, wait a minute. When my mom and dad used to come out of the bathroom, I smelled that same smell.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, I was doing my community service once after I got busted. I think it was quite a few years ago, doing it at a regional reserve, pulling weeds and filling in holes and trail paths and things like that. And one of the older guys there, he has granddaughter, and he rolls his own cigarettes kind of thing. And his granddaughter was watching him, and she goes, you know, my daddy rolls his own cigarettes too, except his tobacco's green.
That's great.
You can't put it past kids, eh? Like,
no, they are paying attention.
Oh, they're switched on, man. They're switched on. It's amazing, you know, how much kids can actually teach adults. What's other interesting thing? Have you ever seen Toy Story 3?
That movie is freaky as hell.
But the very end, when Andy gets his toys back and he goes and he actually plays with that little girl kind of thing, you know, just with his toys and stuff like that, you know, and adult boy is about to go off to college, just playing kids games with a little girl with all of these children's toys and things like that. It was just so sweet and really beautiful to me, because I think as adults, we've forgotten about that. We've forgotten how to just play. And that's really quite tragic, I think, because that's where all our creativity comes from. And I think that if adults could stop taking themselves too freaking seriously and would laugh and have as much fun and play as much as kids do, we'd have a hell of a lot better world, I think.
Oh, absolutely. My son yesterday brought everything out into the backyard and put it all in a line. At the end of it was his radio flyer wagon and his blanket. And he was that was his fort. And he was going to spend the night out in the backyard. And I mean, every single toy was out in the backyard in a straight line leading up to this wagon. And he was having a blast. I wish I could do that. I wish I had time to do that.
Well, the thing is, if you don't think you've got time, you'll be surprised how much time you can actually free up if you really wanted to, you know?
Like, I know.
Most of the times I feel like I don't have enough time to shave, but the reality is shaving only takes a couple of minutes, and instead of spending a few extra minutes on Facebook talking with people who are dissing me and blocking them, I could instead just have a freaking shave.
That, you know, now that you put it that way.
I mean, am I wrong? If I stepped out of some intellectual closet here?
No. I mean,
come on. You know, no. We can really just... It's like in that movie 2012, you know, the president, Danny Glover's in the chapel. And he says, you know, to his aide, step out. I want to have a word with Adrian. He says, sorry, sir, there is no time. And he says, make time. And really, we've got the ability to make time, ladies and gentlemen. Make time for your kids. Make time for yourself. Make time to make the world a better place. And hey, if you make that time, you can actually spend it doing something that is actually beneficial. All right. And most of the time, we spend doing things that we don't really want to do instead, when we could just choose not to do those things and do something else. You know, it's only a choice. That's all it is. And we've all been endowed with it. Apart from ruthless criminal psychopaths, they don't seem to have a choice, except scumbaggery, of course. Suzanne Bosel has been my very special guest from OccupyCorporatism.com. Thank you for coming on at such short notice and spending so long on here. And your righteous cackling is much appreciated. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Visit thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe today. See you again sometime.